can go. Good day, Adam.
Good day, Rowan. How are you, mate?
Very well. Did you see that game last night?
Yeah. It was pretty ordinary for Melbourne Victory.
What's hard to get a gauge on conditions, but it, I mean, they do call Wellington the Windy City, but it seemed extra windy over there, I thought.
I still can't get around my head around the fact that they actually built a city in a place like that.
Yes.
It doesn't stop raining and it's always windy. Why would you want to live there?
Oh, well, I don't know. I know you, Sydney people say that about Melbourne, mate.
No, Melbourne's got laps on Wellington. I've been there a couple of times. It's a nice enough city itself, but I just can't understand it. The geographical decision they made when they actually planted the first establishment back whenever. But, that's by the by. We know that they play football in Wellington, and Melbourne Victory just didn't adapt to the conditions, the situation, or the opposition at all last night, really.
What's the record of visiting sides over there generally?
It's pretty hard. Like, this season, the only two teams to go over there and get something were Melbourne City, the first game of the season.
Yeah.
And they deserved that win. And Sydney FC, who were a little lucky on that occasion, they got a late winner. But everyone else has walked away with either a draw or mainly a loss. And they're now on a bit of a run at home, Wellington. So, it's, historically speaking, it is a difficult place to go. But still, I know Kevin Muscat will be seething with that performance.
Yeah, look, I heard what he had to say in the press conference. Obviously not wrapped. I mean, they've had a great run. The scheduling, I guess he's got to be careful, doesn't he, not to use the crowded schedule as too much of an excuse.
Well, no, he said after the game on last Friday, that epic against Brisbane Roar, he said that he's not here because we asked him about it on the panel. He said, how are you going to deal with the intensity of a game like that, the craziness of a game like that, when you have to play a couple of days later, and halfway through the question, he started shaking his head as if to say, no, it's nothing to do with it. We're going to deal with something like that. We can't use garbage like that as an excuse. And so he's not using it as an excuse. He didn't mention it before the game. He can't really come out and... The only way he could come out and use it after the game is to defend his players and shield them a bit. But really, behind closed doors, I have no doubt that he would have ripped into them.
Yeah, some of the big guns didn't really fire last night. In fact, I only counted about four or five, might have been more, but four or five clear shots on goal. Berisha, very quiet. Rojas, again, like we said, tough conditions. But it wasn't skill that was at a premium last night. It was basically a bit of old, I don't know if Socky uses this terminology, but a bit of G&D, guts and determination.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I mean, football, I think, sometimes gets above itself in that regard and thinks that you have to play beautifully and it's all about your finesse and touch. But yeah, you've got to rip in. You've got to roll sleeves up. You've got to do all those quintessential cliches, if you like, when it comes to effort and application. So not to say that they weren't trying last night, Melbourne Victory. It just wasn't happening for them. And they weren't up to their usual standard. That I'm sure the effort was 100% there, but the usual standard that goes with effort and application just wasn't on top. So wind plays havoc. I mean, if you're not used to it, wind is just the worst to play soccer football in. It's you can play in rain, you can cop rain, you can cop sleet, you can cop snow, that's fine. But wind is just, it's not fun.
No, well, I mean, rain, all those elements you mentioned, yes, conditions are made difficult, but there's a consistency with it, isn't there? Whereas with wind... there might be a lull for a moment and then all of a sudden it springs up again. It must make the judgment of passing so difficult.
Yeah, it's like golf. Yeah, you
don't ask me, I can't play golf.
Yeah, if it can lie, especially win. But yeah, it just throws you. It just totally throws you. But again, we're talking about outside influences that Victory didn't deal with. And we've got to give credit to Wellington Phoenix, first and foremost. They've sorted it out. They've sorted themselves out. And the addition of Shane Smeltz has really helped them because now they've got a few other options and a few other players that were playing, like Rolly Bonavarti was very good last night and Michael McGlinchey, who started on the bench last night, that they're just aided so much by having a top-class guy like Shane Smeltz in their midst because it frees up Roy Krishna a little bit and it just helps the team. So the balance of that team is very good and they could make a sustained run for this top four, maybe.
Yeah, I was having a look at the ladder. It's pretty even. Everyone still essentially has a chance, aren't they? And that's pretty healthy for the competition.
Yeah, well, teams from third down, there's no consistency at all. they're sorting themselves out. They have a good result. I mean, you look at the Perth-Newcastle game on the weekend, and both sides had great chances to win, and it ended up being a draw. So, yeah, there's no consistency apart from Sydney FC, and up until last night, Melbourne victory. Nothing doing from those teams. So, yeah, anyone who wins three or four games in a row, they're going to put themselves right in the frame for a good position.
We spoke to Zappers yesterday, and we talked about how, you know, most of the season, I think people would be looking at Sydney FC and the victory and saying they're the standouts, they'll be playing off. But it's always dangerous in those circumstances. I've seen it happen in AFL so many times when two teams dominate a year and then neither of them ends up winning the flag. That happened most famously with Adelaide in 1997. But, you know, because there's such a tight cluster of teams beneath those top couple, there's clearly a lot of capabilities. And do you feel like any of those chasing teams are capable of upsetting those two when it matters most?
Yeah. If the two that are at the top play to their top, I've no doubt one of those two win. But if you get in bad form at the wrong time, case in point, the one you mentioned, we've seen it in rugby league a number of times, we've seen it in football a couple of times as well in the A-League, that if you get in bad form at the wrong time, I remember Central Coast, they ended up winning the Premier's plate. They finished top of the table and they didn't make the grand final.
Yeah.
They went straight set. So, yeah, not much has to go wrong as well. It's a pretty even comp, a very even comp, I'd say. I mean, you look at Adelaide United, Mark Rudin said it a couple of weeks ago, they're the best last-place team he's seen in competition's history. So that makes it difficult for teams all throughout the competition because anything can happen on any given day.
I kept watching Adelaide when they weren't getting the results and thinking of that famous Greg Chappell line, I'm not batting badly, I just keep getting out. And they weren't playing that badly, were they? But they just couldn't get points.
No, they got a tough one this weekend. They take on Sydney FC. So if they get something out of that, that could be the absolute springboard because, good result last Thursday night against Melbourne City. But you need to back it up. And last time they had a win, that was a win over Wellington at home. We thought, okay, that's the turnaround because it was exactly the same round as last season. Didn't happen that way. We'll reserve judgment. We're a bit shy about Adelaide. We'll see if they can get any consistency about their form over the next month.
So what are the pick of this weekend's games, do you think?
Yeah, we've got probably Friday night with that Sydney-Adelaide game. There's no absolute standout. Like last weekend, we had two on paper that were like, wow, yeah, the Melbourne Victory Brisbane game and also the Sydney Derby. But this week there's probably more even spread across the weekend with a lot riding on every single game, actually, because Central Coast take on Melbourne City tomorrow night down there in Melbourne. Central Coast looking to get away from the bottom of the ladder and they're not playing bad football. Taking on Melbourne City, who desperately need a turnaround in form. They need to get things right pronto, and then you go through the weekend, Sydney, Adelaide, as I mentioned. We've got Wellington, Brisbane. Can Wellington keep it going? Brisbane have lost three games straight, and they snap their losing streak. We've got Perth, Melbourne victory. So Melbourne victory go from one side of the world to the other, basically, to take on Perth in Perth. And then on Sunday, you've got Western Sydney and Newcastle.
Yeah, it's tough for the victory. How are they handling that logistically? I mean, they wouldn't touch down here for very long at all before taking off, would they? Or are they going straight to Perth?
Personally, ideal world, you'd go straight to Perth.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're able to do that, I think you have to stop in Melbourne anyway, so they might take that as... Because you've got to go through customs, and it's a right pain in the backside. So maybe the conditioning stuff, I don't actually know what they're doing. I'll find out the next couple of days before the Perth game, but... whether or not they hang in Melbourne for a day or two and then head over the day before the game. It's a tough schedule, and Kevin Musk had said as soon as it came out they weren't overly pleased with it. But once they got over that, they said, we're going to deal with it because they've got to deal with it. They've got no option. They play on Saturday night, and then they've got to come back and play Australia Day against Sydney FC at Etihad in a real blockbuster.
Just want to ask you about the EPL. Now, as you know, I was a big fan of the Fox coverage of the EPL. Yourself and Bozza and Robbie Slater doing a great job of bringing us all EPL action. I'm one of those people that I don't have the Optus package, and I'm not saying this is a sledge of Optus. We've all had our says on that, but I just feel like for a lot of people in this town who are like me, soccer might not be their number one thing, but they're still very interested in it, that the season sort of existed in a parallel universe. I don't feel like I'm involved with it, and I'm not getting much sense from anyone else who I deal with that they are either. What have been your experiences with that? Are the people that you speak to in a sporting sense as involved as they were?
No. No. Again, this is not a police officer's business. It's business, and well done to them for getting the right. It happens. But, yeah, I just get the sense that for the diehards, yeah, they're still across it, and they'll always be across it. But I just, in a wider sense, you know, you're not your casual fan, but your person who's interested in it, it's a little harder to be interested in it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not at the ready for the younger generations. It's as simple as ever. They just wake up, iPad, phone, bang, and they've got the highlights straight there. I do have an Optus thing. I've actually been an Optus broadband subscriber for about over a decade, so I got it for Nicks. But it's not as paramount for me because I'm not a I'm a fan of a team that got relegated last season, so that was beautifully beautifully managed.
Oh, who's Newcastle. I've forgot. Oh, Newcastle. No, who are you? Newcastle. Yeah, okay.
So following them nicely in the championship, they're actually leading it. But in the back of my brain, I got, oh, do I really want them to go up? Because being sports has the championship, and again, this it's hard for me to say really what I think because it just sounds like I'm spitting a dummy.
Yeah.
We don't have the rights anymore, but it is a little more difficult, but it's the way of the world. I do say to people, look, the Premier League is run by the clubs in England, so do they really care about how many people are watching in Australia, or do they care about how much money they were getting from the TV rights? I know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the latter. But that's the way of the world. That's the way it's going. And good on Optus for giving it a crack. And hopefully their coverage is enhanced over the next couple of years.
Just for your own benefit, Adam, off the SMS, people are saying Victory staying in Melbourne for 2 days and then heading off. So lightning trip home, say good day to the missus and the kids, and then see you later again. Just another one on the EPL. Didn't take long to sort of return to traditional values. You know, Leicester City having a cow of a season.
Yeah. Unfortunately for them, they got the war on two fronts, and it's a really tough battle to deal with because you've got Champions League, and they've performed so well in the Champions League, and they got the knockout stages coming up, and it kind of surprised everyone. They did in the Champions League what they did in the Premier League last year, to some regard. But a few of their players who played really well last year, it kind of looks like it was the lightning strike once, not twice scenario because, yeah, they're not quite up to it. So some of that defending that I saw against Chelsea on the weekend was like, oh, wow. That's the Leicester of old, not so much last season, but seasons before. So, yeah, they're in a relegation battle. Yeah, as strange as it seems, that they're right in the thick of it. So, they'll need to lift considerably over the course of the next 4 months.
Great work, mate. Love your work. Always good to talk soccer with you and all your Fox Sports colleagues. We'll chat to you soon.
Likewise, and thanks to the people on the SMS. I should have just relied on that. Don't have to make the phone call now. Cheers for that.
Always come to 1116 SEN for all your soccer info, Adam.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, cheers.